When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we have another amazing guest, Carly Weinstein. And we get deep and raw and real in this episode. No pun intended there, because Carly is the host of the podcast Real, where she gets real about all things mental health and just the usual situations and struggles of your 20s, which you can also find her creating content about on a daily basis on her social media. And today we talked about everything from disordered eating and anxiety to dating, communication, and friendships. And Carly shares her very vulnerable stories as well as advice for those of you who can relate. This really is an important episode for all of the girls to hear, so you know that you're not alone and that you're not crazy. If you're listening, please leave a review wherever you are listening, whether that's Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It seriously helps the show so much. So let me know how much you love For the Girls and be sure to leave 5 stars. And if you're watching on YouTube, because this will be available with video there, please be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Of course, this one will be really fun to watch because we love a good girl chat. So head over to the YouTube channel if you would like. And that's it. Now, let's get right into the interview. Welcome, Carly, to For the Girls. I am so excited to have you here. Introduce yourself to the girls and tell us everything about what you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm Carly. For those who don't know me, I do TikTok mainly. I feel like that's where you probably might have found me from. But I talk a lot about like mental health, body image, female empowerment. I struggled with like those types of things throughout my life, as like most women have. So my kind of like mission now is to like use humor and like also just talk about like my life living in New York City. But also there's a lot of undertones on my page of like, you know, like lessons in mental health and just, I don't know, everything we go through as women in this world.
Yeah, no, seriously, like just a perfect fit for this show because it's literally For the Girls. We cover a little bit of everything. And I love that that's, you know, your mission and your brand is, you know, going like everything is just real, from mental health struggles, including, you know, disordered eating and body image, to anxiety and dating and relationships. And I know now you're in a new relationship, and I saw like your content from being single for so long, which I relate to heavily. I was single for 10 years. So watching that, I'm like, oh my God, we had so many like overlapping things that we would say. And I just think bringing awareness to the hardships of your 20s, just like in general, period, is very important, because I feel like that's so many of the girls that are consuming like content online are in that same predicament. And I know it's easy when you're single and struggling to think that you're alone. And so then seeing that content, I think, is just so important. So what kind of made you want to start sharing those personal stories?
Honestly, I was like always sharing. I feel like even like since I was young, I feel like when you do content, you like have to, it has to come from a place of like, you already kind of were that person in your real life. And like, for me, that runs very true. Like since I was very young, I just have always been the friend that like people go to for advice, kind of like the mom of the friend group. So it felt very natural when like TikTok came about that like I just started sharing that part of my life on there. But like a little background of me, I actually like started a blog when I was in high school. I was a competitive gymnast my entire life, and I had an injury, tore my ACL, was out for like an entire season, and basically was like, what do I do with my life? Because gymnastics was very much like a part of my identity, and like that was who I was as a person. So I was like, okay, let me have this whole like life crisis now. Who am I now? Like now that this isn't in the forefront of my everyday life. So I kind of started a blog as like a coping mechanism. And at the time, like kind of blogging was a thing. Like people were creating these like websites or Tumblr pages or whatever. So I kind of just learned how to like make a very basic website from like a template and just started sharing about my life. So that's kind of the first time I started sharing things about like my struggles with like disordered eating and like what I was going through and even just like healthy eating and how I'm like learning to navigate fitness now that I have an injury. And going into college, kind of continued to keep sharing. And while I was interning, talked about that stuff. And then when I graduated college, I started doing social media management and like web design and digital marketing. Like I had my own company and I was learning TikTok for my clients. And that's how I kind of fell into TikTok for myself. So I feel like most people don't realize like before that I was an entrepreneur because like I had my own business and then it became like TikTok started allowing me to make more income than the actual business I had before with my clients. So that's how I slowly transitioned into content creation full time for like myself. And yeah, I feel lucky that like I was literally just sharing my life and sharing again through like literal like humor, like using humor to cope with like what I was going through in my life. And people seem to like resonate with it. So that's kind of what I've been doing ever since.
Wow. Isn't it so funny when like, okay, so you hurt yourself and you could obviously have seen that. It really all goes back to just who we are, like in our DNA, who we are as people, what we do with like adversity and what we do with like hardships, like that right there, how you just said, you know, you tore your ACL, which I know so many people who did that in high school and it's like the worst. Did you have the surgery?
Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. And so like you go through things like that and like what you make of it and like that, like it sounds so whatever, but you tearing your ACL is like kind of the reason why you're in this position right now.
Yeah. And that's why I always tell the story because it is so crazy how like the most, not like that, that's like, oh my God, the worst, most traumatic thing that ever happened. But it was just something very significant in my life. Like it was a very significant life event, literally a canon event. But it was crazy how like something like that literally made me into the person I am today. And it was something like really horrible that happened. And like gymnastics was very much like everything to me. And then I had to learn how to like find something else. And now what I do is everything to me. So it like really was like a blessing. And even just all the pain like I went through with like the disordered eating and just like all of my struggles, I feel like now because I've been able to turn it into purpose, it's been like worth it for me. Like, I'm like, if I'm going to go through this, like at least let like me help someone else that's struggling with it or like let there be something good that comes from it, you know?
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Wait, I have so many things I want to say. We're going to get into, you know, everything in a second, but first I just have to backtrack and say, when I was in college, I made a blog too. And like, I'm thinking about it now, like how you said, like with the websites and whatever. And like, it is so funny, like the digital footprint of having, like, I look back because I had like an old Instagram that went, like, you know, like we used to make a separate Instagram to like go with your thing. Like, I was like, that can't be on my personal Instagram.
Oh my God.
I look at it all the time now and it's like the chokers and like all like the crazy stuff. Like, so we've been through the trenches with the social media stuff. So I had to put that out there.
It's so funny. If you scroll back on my Instagram, like if you go really back, you could literally find the like bright white backgrounds with like my theme was literally like, all pink and white. And like I would use like Facetune to like whiten the wall.
Oh my God, the teeth whitener on the wall. Yeah.
Like that was like the trick that we all did. And like I would go to like Lightroom and like put down all the like saturation and like that was thing. Like we were all like crazy.
Yeah. But then the other thing, I liked what you just said, how you were something along the lines of like, you're already going through this, so you might as well just like get something good out of it. There was, I used to like watch this person who like did like motivational speaking and whatever. And he always said this thing that was like, you're already in pain. Don't cry to quit. Get a reward out of it. Like if you're already in pain, don't give up now. You might as well just like figure it out and get something good. If you're going to cry, like get a reward out of it. Don't cry to quit. And that just came to me with what you were saying. Like it might sound so simple. Like, you know, I was going through this hard time, so I just like got something good out of it, but it's actually so like profound. And I feel like that speaks volumes. And again, it goes back to like who we are as people. And for anyone listening, like let that be your sign. Like that you might be going through something right now that, you know, you're you feel like you're at rock bottom, you feel like you can't come up from, but like this is like your sign, I guess, to see that you absolutely can.
Yeah. And even if it's just to help a friend or like someone else, like you never know like who's going to come into your life in the future and like how you're going to be able to help them and maybe change the path of their life. Mm-hmm. And like, again, it comes from like this tiniest little decision can change your whole life. One small moment can change the course of your whole life or someone else's whole life. So even if something like terrible is happening to you, like you never know how even like it doesn't undo the terrible thing, like whatever it might be, but at least it can maybe help someone else and make it like it just lightens it or makes it a little bit better, makes it a little bit more not worth it.
Yeah, it gives you something like the light at the end of the tunnel, something good to look forward to.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the disordered eating. I watched or listened to your latest episode of your podcast about breaking the binge and restrict cycle. So I would love if you could give us a breakdown of that. Like, for the girls that are listening that either one, don't know what that is at all, or two, maybe the people who are in the same cycle but don't actually realize that it's a cycle. You know what I'm trying to say? Like they're doing the same thing, but they don't have like a title or a label for it. So what is the binge and restrict cycle and how did you break that cycle?
So the binge and restrict cycle, first of all, like it's not going to be exactly the same for everyone, but it looks similar. And basically it's a cycle that like you start out with like some type of diet or feeling badly about yourself and thinking that you need to like restrict your intake somehow, whether that's like restricting a food group, eating less, whatever it may be. You're doing well for maybe a little bit until something emotional happens, something bad happens, or you get a craving, or you accidentally, in quotes, slip up, in quotes, because like you can't ever really I don't believe in like cheat meals or slipping up or whatever. But let's say you eat something that you don't want to necessarily be eating. You either, you can either choose to like chalk it up and go about your day. But with most people that are on these really like hard diets, or they're just going through the cycle of binge and restrict, usually that's when like the binge starts or the overeating starts. So like you eat one thing and then you like, okay, F it. Like that's like I'm done now for the week or the day or whatever it may be. So I might as well just throw out the whole diet, eat whatever I want. Usually that's when like the binge kicks in. And once you start, you kind of can't stop. A lot of the time, if you actually go through like a binge, you kind of feel like you're blacking out. Like you're kind of disassociating while you're doing it. And it kind of emotionally, like as you're eating, you might feel like you're temporarily patching some type of emotion up, or like as you feel fuller, it like is, it's almost like the equivalent, I think, to like drinking or using anything else to like cope. It's kind of the same receptors in your body that you're hitting. And after that happens, you just feel this huge wave of guilt. It's almost like a come to moment where you're like, oh my God, what did I just do? I feel horrible about myself. I'm a piece of shit. Like I have no self-discipline. Like you just feel like the most awful things about yourself. And then you're like, okay, fine. Like that was the last time. Like I'm never going to do this again. So then you double down, triple down even harder, saying like, I'm going to diet even harder. I'm going to restrict even more. And then the cycle continues and it continues and it continues. And the only way to break that cycle is actually to stop wanting to lose weight in the first place, or to stop wanting to restrict or diet in the first place. And the reason a lot of people actually can't stop the cycle when they think they're trying to stop the cycle is because they're still stopping the cycle with the intention of weight loss. So if you are like, I'm really stuck in like these binge restrict or just like an unhealthy general relationship with food, because it doesn't always come out in a binge cycle, but it might come out in like a, you feel like you don't have control around certain foods. Like you can't keep certain foods in the house. Like you eat one cookie, so you eat all the cookies. Like you hear so many people all the time be like, oh, I can't have that in the house. I'd just eat all of it. Like I'd go crazy. That usually is reflective of an unhealthy relationship with food in like some capacity. And so it's usually not about the fact that like we're addicted to the food or we can't control ourselves. We have no discipline. It's more about the fact that we don't trust ourselves and we don't have a healthy relationship with the foods around us. And we think we look at foods as good or evil, good or bad. And so I think the main thing is like to stop the binge cycle, you A, have to have a lot of patience. You have to realize that like this isn't going to stop overnight. You're not just going to say like, I'm done with weight loss. And then like the next day you like stop binging. Like that is not how it works. It takes years of practice. For some people, it's shorter time. For some people, it's longer time. That first time you stop, that first few months, first whatever, you can expect yourself to still feel out of control around food. You can still expect yourself to feel like you're almost like giving yourself permission unconditionally to just eat whatever you want. So you're like trying to get it all in because you're like, oh my God, your brain is so used to that restrict cycle that every time you go to eat something, your body and your mind think it's like the last time you're ever going to get it. So you're constantly used to just stuffing yourself. And because you don't know, your body doesn't know, you're so used to being like, oh, we're eating this type of food. You're never going to be able to eat again. Cause your mind and your body, like they get used to patterns and the ways that you treat it. Like it latches onto those habits and it does become a habit. So that kind of can go on for a while, but there will be a certain point and you have to trust it, your body and just the timing that there will be a certain point where you will stop and you won't feel that way always. And I think that's where the breakthroughs happen is when you're like, oh, wait, I actually can like stop eating right now. Like I don't need to finish this whole like box of cookies. I can if I want to. Like that's the thing. You could if you want to. And you have to like really train yourself to know and have confidence and trust in yourself that you can eat whatever you want. It's a choice. And then you start thinking about, oh, how am I going to feel if I eat this? Like now when I am eating like a sugary something or whatever, I know like I can have it. I know maybe a whole box of cookies is kind of going to make me feel really shitty. So I probably don't want that. But if I accidentally do overeat sometimes, I'm like, oh, I feel sick. So I don't want to do that again because I feel sick, not because, oh, I'm going to get fat. You know, and I think that's the problem that we have with that mindset. So I know that's a lot of information to take in and that's a lot to think about, but that's like kind of the start. The start is giving yourself that unconditional permission to eat whatever you want. And also saying, I am not dieting anymore. And I'm no longer pursuing weight loss. And the reason you get to this point, you're a candidate to try this, if you have been through this binge cycle or this overeating cycle, this unhealthy relationship with food for so long that you are just sick of having this unhealthy relationship with food and you want to feel normal again. I think that for me was the biggest sign. It wasn't like, you just want to feel normal. So if anyone's wondering like, is this for me? Is this not for me? I think that's the place that you have to be in. You have to be like, I just want a healthy relationship with food again. And I want to feel like I'm not thinking about it 24/7 and consumed by it.
Yeah. So that was like your, like you said, a come to moment where you just said like, I just don't feel good. Like it's above anything else. It's just not feeling good.
Yeah. Cause I couldn't like, yes, like forever. I always wanted to lose weight. I always wanted to feel like that, but I could never like, I don't know. There was no way that I was going to like get thin in quotes and go along the path that I was going on. Like it just wasn't going to happen. So
that's actually like a really important piece to say there. Cause I was thinking that too about how like the goal is to lose weight, but realistically you're probably not going to lose weight by doing that thing. Right?
Right. Exactly. It's like, are you talking about like with the restriction and
yeah, like okay, say that you're like, okay, I overate, you know, and I think that this is actually common, maybe even if someone isn't a candidate for this specific thing, maybe if it's just, you know, say you're quote unquote average person who, because listen, I can't say that I necessarily have a severe, you know, issue, but I definitely have that issue with, there have been times where I'll eat too much and then that's it. I'm like, now I can't eat for the rest of the day, mm-hmm. you know? And so you yeah. think like I ate way too many chips, you know, at 12 yeah. o'clock and now yeah. I'm not eating the rest of the day. I think a lot of people actually go through that. Totally. And that does not get you any closer to whatever your goal is, especially your aesthetic goals. Like if you're trying to say it is lose weight or tone up or whatever, like that, I mean, it's never helped me. And so the way that you're saying it kind of reminded me of, myself and saying like, I've never achieved my fitness goals by saying, okay, I ate too much, so now I can't eat dinner, you know?
And it actually does like quite the opposite. Like a lot of the problem with the way that like I went about my like dieting and stuff is like, there was no nutrition, like even though we think we know things about nutrition, like we don't. And like, we just think, oh, we'll restrict. The more I don't eat, the better. Like the more I restrict, the better. Let's take out gluten. Let's take out dairy. It's like, there's no science behind that. Like there's no like anything behind that. Lessening calories, there's no science behind that. Like people love to talk on TikTok or online. And the problem that no one is talking about is all of our bodies are different. Some people have food intolerances. Some people need more calories than others. Some people are doing really hard workouts. Some people are not working out at all. Like there are so many different factors that play into how your body is absorbing food and certain nutrients. And what works for you is never going to work for someone else. And so that's why it's so important. And I encourage this so much. Like if you do feel bad about yourself and if you do want to pursue weight loss in some capacity, because it's like telling a like high schooler not to drink. They're going to go do it anyways. So at least do it under my roof, you know, like when I'm a parent, like do it under my roof where you can do it in a safe environment. That's how I feel about telling women, just don't lose weight. They're not going to listen because society makes us so that we're very conscious about our bodies and we're always going to want to pursue thinness. It's very hard to not. So at least what I can recommend is find a really good intuitive eating dietitian or a really great nutritionist that has no like restrictive kind of tendencies. Like make sure you do your research first. That's the best thing you can do because they're going to actually give you the facts and they're actually going to go based off of your body. It's a program for you. So yeah, the reason a lot of us fall into eating disorders and disordered eating is because there's no training or science behind what we're doing to ourselves. We're just doing it. And then we think, oh my God, why am I like this? Why am I crazy? Why am I like, I have no discipline. I'm mad at myself. It's like, cause we were not built to do this to ourselves. We're like, you're like torturing your body and starving your body. Of course you're going to like be like frustrated and you know?
Yeah. We're like punishing ourselves. I think it's so important what you're saying too. I actually listen. It's like, this might be the biggest contradiction ever, but I saw a TikTok saying that like, it was in regards to like health and wellness and fitness. And it was saying 2% of the information found on TikTok in regards to those things is accurate.
Yeah.
So like, again, this is a TikTok talking about TikTok. So I don't know, but it was even just seeing that was like so eye-opening, meaning 98% of the videos about health, wellness, fitness, whatever, is inaccurate.
Yeah.
That is so scary.
It is. And a lot of it's opinion. And like all these people online, it's very scary because it's like, where is your degree from? And like, where is your information from? Like my whole thing is like, you wouldn't want to like send your kid to like a doctor who didn't get training, who's just like saying they're a doctor, you know, like you would never send your kid to that. So why do we go online and buy a workout program from a person that has no formal training and just is like an influencer, you know, like it's just like same thing with food programs. Like you want to be going to someone who has gone to school, who has studied the science, who knows to make an individual program for you. Like, again, back to the thing with like us like doing random diets from online or just thinking one size fits all. One size does not fit all. Like it's never going to work if you think that a person posts a program online with how to eat and then all of us are going to try it. Most of us are going to fail. Like,
so that's actually so true. It's like it kind of unintentionally is designed for people to fail because when you make this one size fits all program, it's probably only going to work for the people who look like or have the same, you know, makeup as the person who made the program,
right?
Which is typically like a very skinny, you know, person. Like it just, so, you know, especially if there's someone who's never struggled with their weight in the first place, they really don't have a leg to stand on in regards to, you know, helping with weight loss. So that's actually a really interesting perspective. And I also think this all goes hand in hand with mental health too, because when you're going through these cycles and when you are struggling like this, it does lead to other things, whether that's anxiety, depression. And I know you've been very open about your mental health struggles, more specifically anxiety. And again, everything looks different for everyone. So I know that everyone is affected by these things differently, but I'm curious for you, like what your journey or experience with, you know, anxiety and then the disordered eating, like how that affected your everyday life and how you cope with that.
Yeah. I think like my, like obviously mental health, like all the disorders kind of bleed into each other and like play off of each other. So my like disordered eating definitely fueled my anxiety. That fueled me feeling very depressed. So that I struggled with situational depression. My OCD and my food issues would go hand in hand. Like all of them kind of mesh into each other. So it's at, like, it's definitely always like played a role. And I think like when I was able to go to therapy and also get on medication for my anxiety, my disordered eating definitely got more under control. And that's something like I don't really talk about much, honestly, because part of it was just like lifestyle and maturity and learning more about myself. But I definitely think that if it wasn't for me like being so conscious of like helping myself when it comes to my anxiety and like depression and stuff, like I think my eating would still be a lot worse today, and I wouldn't have had the strength or the, like I wouldn't have felt relaxed enough to experiment with foods and to like go out of my box with certain things, or to feel comfortable walking out of the house if I was 10 pounds heavier or 5 pounds heavier or whatever it was. And like to some people that might sound really scary, because people with disordered eating or anxiety, a lot of the time we want control. And I'm still a control freak, trust me. Like there are a lot of things in my life that I still like to have control over, but I think it's like a certain point where you realize me like using like my food choices to like cope with things, it wasn't actually giving me more control. I just had less control. Like I was literally like all over the place in my life. So it kind of did quite the opposite. So I think that if anyone struggles with that and is afraid that by going on anxiety medicine or by getting treatment for disordered eating, you're giving up control, you'll actually realize once you start healing that you're more under control and you have both hands on the handlebars of your life more than ever before. So I think that was like a big thing for me too.
I love that. You said something in, I don't remember if it was in an episode or in a TikTok, because trust me, I've been deep diving. I've been doing my research, especially on such sensitive topics. I'm like, I need to make sure I say the right things. I asked the right questions, and there were just a lot of things that did stand out to me. And you shared a quote that I believe your father said to you in regards to medication. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Yeah.
Can you share that? Because it was just so good.
Yeah, my dad like is the biggest like inspiration, and like my parents, I am so lucky that my household was always open when it comes to mental health, because I know so many people don't have that same experience and grow up with like a big stigma around mental health. And basically like my dad's been on medication for many years for anxiety, but he said when I was afraid to go on medication, he was like, "You are currently not at a leveled playing field with everyone else." Is this what you're talking about?
Yep.
Okay. So he was like, by you like not being on medication, everyone else has like an advantage over you when it comes to like your career and making friends and your love life and like everywhere in life, like people are at an advantage. So in order to level the playing field and be able to play the same game as everyone else and have just as good of a shot at success as everyone else, you need to go on medication, because then that gives you that equal shot to do all the things that you want to do and live your best life. And before that, I just never thought about it that way. Like I was just like, oh, I'm just like weak, and I'm like being a little like wuss for like, you know, I just was like, oh, like deal with it. Like a lot of people, I think with anxiety, we think, oh, this is just something that I deal with. Like it's just how my life is. And it like, we think it like makes us strong or something to just like chalk it up and like live with all of these problems all the time. And then I realized it actually doesn't. It's like takes way more strength to like take the actual steps to get help and try different medications and it like find something that works for you. It like takes a lot of strength to admit that you need something to help you. And I know for a fact that like I couldn't live the exact life that I live now, at least the way that I live it and with the freedom and the lightness that I live it, without my medication. And so although other people might not have realized that I was struggling before, that doesn't matter, because like my internal struggle was so big that it was affecting everything in my life. So if you're struggling with anxiety or with depression or OCD or whatever it is, realize that like everyone else is that doesn't have those mental health disorders is walking around and maybe doing the same things as you in life. And you could be even better at them. You could be even more equal to them, or be, not that I'm like, I'm a little bit of a competitive person, but I'm like, you could like, you could be beating them in all of these things if you just got the help that you probably need. So that was something that with my competitive edge, I'm like, I want to level the playing field. So yeah.
No, it makes so much sense. It's like, wait, I'm walking around with this disadvantage when there's a solution out there. And It may not be the solution for everybody. Of course, we're not giving medical advice, just talking about her experience. Yeah. It may not be the solution for everybody, but for someone like you, it absolutely was. And I think that it just, like you said, it just simply puts you on the same level as everybody else. In, you know, think about your average day for someone who's not struggling with anxiety, OCD, and everything else in between. And then someone who is, it could be the littlest things like just getting to work and just going grocery shopping and just going on a date, which is what I want to ask you about too. So, you know, those little things, you know, you don't realize how much harder it is, you know, on you. And it doesn't have to necessarily be.
Exactly.
Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience cravings, bloating? If so, then you need Hormone Harmony, the solution for women of all ages to maintain optimal hormone levels. It reduces bloating and discomfort and supports your mood and general well-being. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar and is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit? Feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in the reviews, and there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com, and use the code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But I like that you mentioned that your dad said, you know, this affects your love life and, you know, how you mentioned it affected everything. And so, like I said before, you talked about, you know, being single previously and feeling lonely and whatnot. And you live in Manhattan, right? In the city.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm assuming that you've met tons of guys, have gone out with guys. Obviously, you're in the city. Like, there's just countless people around. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, you're going to have success in dating when you are struggling so much. How do you feel like all of these, you know, struggles affected you in regards to dating? Do you feel like it really affected, you know, being able to get into a secure relationship, or what was your experience with that?
I honestly just think that I like wasn't ready to date until like seriously until pretty recently. I'm very like, people can think this is woo-woo. I'm like maybe a little bit like weird with this stuff, but I'm very much like, I trust the universe and I feel like I'm very in tune with myself. And for years I've like maybe felt a little lonely here and there, but I subconsciously was never ready for something. And like, I really truly think like it just wasn't my time because mentally I wasn't there yet. Like, I needed to, there were still like things that I hadn't resolved within me. And I don't have everything resolved within me. Like, we are constantly growing, constantly meeting new struggles, or struggles are like kind of resurfacing and then we have to kind of calm them down again. So it's by no means that I'm like healed now, but I definitely think that for me personally, I didn't feel like I could seriously date until I had more things with my mental health and like everything resolved. And so I just kind of had put dating on a back burner for basically all of my 20s for 7 years. And it was no issue. I mean, everyone else thought it was an issue. Like, I feel like everyone else around me was like, why don't you like go on dates? And like, when I first moved to the city, like my roommate, my like old roommate, when I like lived with her, we would like chit chat and she'd be like, I'm going on like 3 dates this week. And I'm like, I had gone on like, I think when I was 22, 23, I had maybe gone on like 1 date ever. Like, I just didn't do that. And still to this day, I've only probably been on like maybe 10 first dates. I didn't do it. It wasn't like a crazy witch hunt of like me trying to find my husband. Like, it was not like that. I just think like everyone's different. So, I mean, with mental health, if you don't feel ready, it's not something that you need to rush into. Like, people are always like, Carly, like, what do I do? Like, I don't really like want to, like, I'm not interested. So don't do it. Like, why are we in such a rush? Why are women, that's all people freaking talk about, is like, oh, are you dating? Like, we have other things that we need to resolve, especially when it comes to like the body image and mental health stuff. I feel like most women struggle with it, on top of like trying to have a career and like also our biological clock ticking, which adds this like pressure and anxiety. And so I just was like, you know what? Like, I'm going to focus on my career. I'm going to take care of my mental health, figure out who I am as a person. And the day that I feel ready, it'll come to me. And I think that's really like what happened. And I've had a boyfriend for like, I've had him for like 2 months. Like, it's not like I have solved the ways of the world, but I just know that like it came to me in a time that I was truly ready for it. And so the right person came into my life, like a good, healthy relationship came into my life. And so it was important I didn't settle just because other people were telling me to get into it.
Yeah, it's so true. Like, I don't think that guys deal with that as much as women. Like, I feel like men being single, especially when they're in the city frolicking around all day, like, I feel like that's like their superpower.
Oh my God.
Like, go out, be single, like all this. Women, it's what is that? Like, it's so crazy.
Like, my boyfriend is 31, and imagine he's like, yeah, like, I figured like now would be a good time to like settle down. Imagine a woman saying that. If a woman is 31, we're like, I literally need to freeze my eggs. I need to find my husband. Like, we need to get married tomorrow. Like, we're freaking out, and like with good reason. It is not because we're crazy. It is because A, society, B, biological clock. But it is just such a different, like, stark difference between the two. Like, men just are like, they kind of just ease into it. They're like, yeah, I'm 30, 32. I guess I'll settle down with the next one I find. Like,
and that's the funniest thing too, is that when they are ready, they just get a girlfriend.
It's crazy.
If they just decide they want a girlfriend, they have one.
Yeah. It's so crazy.
Like, I don't know. We haven't figured that one out yet as a society, how to like change that. Because as a woman, I have never been able to just decide I want a boyfriend and get one.
Yeah. Because at least with women too, I think our biggest problem and like my biggest advice I wish I could like scream into people's heads is like, do not like settle just because you like want someone, because maybe you don't actually want someone. Maybe there's more that you need to work through first. Like, I've had friends, like, I've been single again for 7 years, and I've seen best friends of mine go in and out of multiple relationships. And if you are just really like, maybe you needed to learn from those, and that's so valid. For me, I was like, I'm not putting up with this shit. Like, I'm not getting into a relationship unless I know it's right. I do not want to get hurt like that again. Like, I just wish I could explain to people, like, if you don't want to go through that, be so intuitive and so intentional about dating and about people that you meet. Like, if you see a red flag, if you feel a weird feeling in your chest, if your friends don't like him, don't be in the relationship. Don't pursue it any further. Like, women, like, we ignore things because we want the security of like, if all else fit, like in the back of our minds, it's like, if all else fails, at least I know, like, I have this relationship just in case I can't find anyone else. No, be more fearless and realize that, like, it is a lot better if you actually just waited it out and found the right person. You wouldn't have to go through that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, my biggest thing, like, I wish women could understand that it's a lot better to not settle and to, like, actually wait until you're really ready. Because you will find your person. You will find someone.
It is so true. I always say, like, it's better to be lonely and single than lonely in a relationship. Like, yeah,
100%.
That's the worst feeling is having someone, but just a shell. Like, you just have a body, but you're not, like, aligned. Like, your souls are not connected. Like, that's... you're just a million times better off being single.
And then you're back at square one because eventually things are
you're definitely not gonna live the rest of your life together. So you might as well just get rid of them now before you waste the next 5 years of your life.
Exactly.
You mentioned, you know, about this being a healthy relationship where you felt really ready and really comfortable. This is just kind of a sidebar thing that came to me because two different things. One, I watched your two different videos that you had posted. One in which you said for years you didn't even feel comfortable eating food around people. Like, you didn't want to be around, like, people when it came to, like, having, you know, dinner and whatever.
Yeah.
And then in another video you mentioned, like, with your boyfriend, your favorite thing that you guys do was just, like, to sit in and order takeout and just chill. And to me, like, watching those two things, especially, like, for you may have said these things over a period of time where it doesn't really register for you. For me, I watch them back to back. So I'm like, wow, like, that growth, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I post a lot about dating and I always say, like, just my holding for years has always been, like, a dinner date, in my opinion, is the only acceptable first date. I like romance. I like a man pursuing you and taking you to a dinner date. And a lot of the time I would get comments from girls being like, I can't do dinner on the first date. I can't eat in front of a guy. Like, how do you have the confidence to eat in front of a guy? And this is a thing. Like, a lot of people that do struggle with, you know, mental health and disordered eating or whatever the case is, don't like to eat in front of people.
Yeah.
Now that you're in this relationship where that's your favorite thing to do, I'm curious about, like, is it like a him thing that he made you feel comfortable, or was it a matter of, like, you fully healing yourself first and now you're okay with that?
Okay, it's actually crazy. I don't think I'll ever be healed when it comes to, like, me eating I think it's an anxiety symptom too, that when I meet people for the first time, or like, for example, like, if I was meeting, like, his family for the first time or something, like, that would give me, like, anxiety and I'd probably have trouble eating, like, things like that, where you're just, it's situations where you don't know someone, or, like, I don't know, like, there will always be situations, but the relationship that I was in, I was dating a guy, like, right before him, and I would struggle so bad with, like, my food. Like, I literally remember sitting, like, I was at like a sushi place with the guy I was dating before him, and I literally was, like, picking apart my sushi. I could barely bite it. Like, it's physically makes me ill. Like, when I, like, it's not like I'm just being, like, shy. Like, it physically makes me sick when I'm around someone and I'm not comfortable eating in front of them. Like, I'm nauseous. So the crazy part is that, like, when I met my current boyfriend, the first time I ate around him, I definitely felt more relaxed. It took a few times. I still have that, like, I still was easing into it just because it's something that is a hard thing for me. But really quickly, I was able to just feel comfortable and, like, eat and, like, eat, like, until satisfaction, you know, not, like, pick. Like, we both kind of did that in the beginning because, like, you're trying to, like, impress the person and be, like, proper and, like, whatever. But
yeah, I'm so classy. Oh my God, I eat like a bird. Like,
yeah. But, like, even, like, with, like, ordering stuff, like, I always felt comfortable, and he always, like, in the beginning would, like, make the decisions for me because he knew that I didn't feel comfortable deciding on what we should order. I don't know, like, he was just very, like, on the same page as me, but I was always relaxed from the beginning, like, all of our dates. I just felt very, it was just such a crazy difference between the guy I dated before him and how, like, the guy before him made me feel so freaking anxious all the time. Like, I literally, the whole time I was dating the guy before him, I felt like I was having a heart attack. Like, I literally thought I needed to up my anxiety medicine. And then I started dating my current boyfriend and I felt relaxed all the time. Like, I felt so chill. I never got nervous for a date. I, like, just knew, like, things would work out. And if they didn't, that I would be okay. Like, I don't know. It was just a whole different vibe in my body.
He calmed your nervous system.
Yeah, like completely. Like it just, that's when you know that something's like right versus not. It's just your body tells you like immediately. Yeah. And I never really had an experience like that where my body was literally rejecting a person versus like accepting a person until recently. So it was like so a crazy experience.
Yeah. You mentioned like, okay, he was ordering for you because he knew you struggled with that a little bit. I'm curious at what stage of dating someone, especially, you know, him, like at what stage did you or do you feel comfortable opening up about that? Is it like, okay, first couple dates, or is it I wait till I'm exclusive? Like, you know, to open up to somebody about those things, like that's a big deal, I'm yeah. going to assume. So what did that timeline kind of look like for you?
Well, first of all, for me, it was like, I actually told him, like, because he, like, I told him about my social media, and then I would let him, he let me take the lead, like, kind of show him what I wanted to show him. So I specifically was like, I really don't feel comfortable, if that's okay with you, like, listening to any of my podcasts about, like, my eating disorder or, like, any of that stuff. And, like, when I feel comfortable, I'm going to tell you about it because I want it to come from me and, like, not from you listening to a podcast. You know, it's like a whole different thing. So he was very respectful about, like, those boundaries that I had, because it was always a big worry for me when it came to dating. Like, I was like, oh my God, I don't want someone to learn about me from, like, looking at my social media or listening to my podcast or anything. So it was, like, kind of early-ish on, but we had just spent so much time together that it just, I feel like you have to, like, listen to, like, you have to feel it out and know when it naturally kind of fits into the conversation. And so we were just, like, pillow talk. It was kind of like a pillow talk when I, like, told him. And we were just talking about it, like, kind of like, what's the hardest thing you've ever been through, or, like, things like that. Like, I feel like it just organically came up, and he, like, understands slash as we go along and things come up, I'll, like, explain to him why something might bother me. Like, if he's talking, because we don't realize, like, if someone doesn't struggle with that or has never been around someone that struggles with that, they don't realize that it can come up frequently in conversations. So, like, the other day or, like, a couple weeks ago, he said something about, like, calories or ingredients in something, and I got really triggered. Like, and I, like, couldn't even – I was like, okay, like, you know how I, like, struggled with this. Like, you can't – because now you're making me feel like I can't eat that, and it makes me want to, like, literally cry and throw it away. Like, that's genuinely how I felt. And so I'm like healed, but I still, there's things that I run into where it makes me really triggered. And so I just told him that, and he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. And, like, I won't bring this up anymore. And there's going to continue to be situations where he says things that might bother me or trigger me. But for me, it's just like being open about that thing so that he knows to avoid that, or just saying, like, let's just end the conversation here, like, let's not talk about it anymore because it's starting to get to me. So just, like, I don't know, I always felt comfortable being open with him about stuff that was going on, and that's been helpful.
That's so important. Speaking of communication, I want you to share a little bit more about that in regards to, you know, speaking to your loved ones, whether it's parents or friends or siblings. It could be a romantic partner, but just anyone in your life who, you know, yeah, whether it's triggering you to you, things that they say, like, a lot of people don't know the right things to say. They don't know when they're saying the wrong thing. Not everybody can understand or resonate with your struggle. So, like, what advice do you have for the girls who are listening that are maybe also going through it, and they need to express themselves to their loved ones in regards to what they're dealing with, or, you know, you doing XYZ is triggering to me.
Mm-hmm. I think, like, when it comes to our parents' generation or grandparents' generation, it's a lot harder because they actually don't know most of the time anything about why what they're doing is triggering. Like, they think they're just, like, normal, and they think that's, like, the right thing to do. They think, like, restriction or, like, talking about food, or being like having certain things is like morally better. Like it makes you, being thinner is like makes you a better person. Like
it's like the almond mom thing. Like on you see like that almond mom stuff on social media?
Of course, yeah. So like they think that genuinely makes them better. Like I grew up with an almond mom. So there was a lot of like education that had to take place in order for her to actually understand why she shouldn't say those things around me. Because without the context, like your parents just think you're like crazy or like being like a baby. Like I had to give my mom the context of like, I struggle with my mental health around this. It makes me feel X, Y, and Z. And here are some examples of what you say. And then let me like send you some articles, like some like good articles, not like random like BS articles, like some good like scholarly articles of like why this is detrimental and why even if you're talking about yourself or you're calling yourself fat or saying I need to work out right now, I need to eat really healthy, why this actually rubs off on me and affects me subconsciously and how this might have been affecting me my whole life and how we can stop this so that it doesn't continue in the next generations where my kids are suffering, my kids' kids are suffering. So I think with parents and grandparents, that's the thing. And we never want to come from a place of attacking. We never want to say, you're doing this. Like you want to say, like, I'm struggling. Like, you want to kind of put it on you. Like, I struggle with this. And here are the things that are said in general that really will trigger me and bring up those these feelings of X, Y, and Z. Like when I was younger, like I, like trigger warning also, but like certain topics made me feel like I did not want to live anymore. Like when I like felt like the number on the scale wasn't good or I would binge, like those things, it was a very serious like mental health thing. And I think it's hard to explain that to people, but if you have it in you, it's really important to explain like the specific feelings that you feel when a certain thing is brought up. I think, sorry, because like it's a lot, but when it comes to like friends, it's a different story. And I think you can come from a place of like, look, I love you, but I am going through something right now where I actually can't block out these certain things. So like, I support you if you are dieting or if you're talking about a certain thing, but if you don't mind, just like, can we not do it around me because it's bringing up a lot and I'm trying to heal right now with my relationship with food. Or if you are talking about something, you might see that I walk away. I'm not angry with you. I don't hate you. It's just something I need to do for myself. I think it's really important, like no matter who you're talking to take the responsibility because no one else is responsible for our triggers. Only we are. And all we can do is kind of like do the action that helps us get out of those situations. So we can't cater the world to our disorders or our triggers, but we can like have a choice in what we do with it and how we go about it. So as long as people understand and you give warnings to the people around you, you should be okay to kind of then act accordingly when those things come up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's learning how to live with those things too, because obviously not everyone's going to be perfect. Exactly. You want to guide them toward like doing their best and like telling them, you know, what would be right for you. But at the same time, like, yeah, we can't expect everyone to cater to us and to change their whole life and their whole mindset because their brain works differently. So they might say something subconsciously, like without really realizing, and it's unintentional. But it still hurts all the same.
Exactly.
I'm curious if you've ever had to, when it comes to friends, do like an audit of like, okay, I've already expressed myself to these people. They know the deal at this point. They clearly just don't care. Like, have there been friends that you've had to remove from your life or stop yourself from being around because they just, you realize through your healing process that they're just not good for you? And yeah. If you have, like, what advice do you have on that?
So my senior year of college, I lived with three other roommates and everyone had like either disordered eating or a full-blown eating disorder. And that was the darkest place I've ever been in my life because everyone was kind of struggling in a different way. And one of them completely isolated herself from the group because she was in like a full-blown active eating disorder. And I had already kind of like contacted family members or tried to help her. And it kind of was like, she wasn't ready for that. She was in denial still. So that was really hard for me because I was also in, I didn't know at the time, but like either verge of like inactive eating disorder or like very severe disordered eating. But like no one had diagnosed me. So let's call it like very severe disordered eating. And then the other two roommates that I was with, they had, and a lot of people probably relate to this, a lot of disordered eating, people play off each other or like team with each other and it becomes competitive. So I had two other roommates that very much were like a pair and they would like have to eat all the same things every day. And they would have to do the same workout every day. And like they would talk about what they're going to eat for dinner, or then they would have like a binge day. And like that day they would both be like eating all of the things all at the same time. And like I had to just remove myself and lock myself in my room literally for like a whole year because, and slowly I had separated myself from them. And I think at the time I maybe didn't handle it the best. They didn't really understand why. Part of it was because I was just feeling left out, and it was other things in the friendship that didn't make me feel comfortable because of their kind of like twosome that they had and the competitiveness that they had. But a lot of it, I think, subconsciously had to do with the fact that they were really triggering me, and I literally like made me feel really uncomfortable that they kind of had this like weird competitive, like they had to do all the same things and eat all the same meals at the same times and would get upset if one person ate more than the other. And it was like a really crazy dynamic. So
that's like the most toxic relationship I think I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah. Extremely toxic, really bad, like horrible. So I had kind of latched on to other girls that I was friends with and kind of like backed away from them. And in hindsight, I don't know if there was anything I could have done differently. Sometimes people just like in the situation they were in, I could have probably said like, you're going through this, but sometimes people just aren't ready to hear that or would just deny it or whatever. But I think that the thing you can always do, like if someone else is going through a weird dynamic with a friend, the first thing you could do again is like always start with like, you want to talk to them about it and say like these things that you're doing, like, because I am struggling, it's okay that you can do whatever you want, but I'm struggling and the things that you're doing are triggering me. So if you're not able to like tone them down around me, I might need to like take a few steps back. And like, I love you as a person, but like, this is just something I physically cannot handle right now for my own mental health. And if they're not willing to either compromise or just respect your boundaries, then that's not a friend. And sometimes friendships shift. Sometimes friendships take breaks. Like if you both are going through something like that, especially if it's like an active eating disorder, or really severe disordered eating, you two could either choose recovery and choose to help each other. But a lot of the time you're going to be on different pages and you're going to recover at different times and need different things. So I think it's really important to lean on those people in your life that do have healthy relationships with food, because that is what helped me through. Like being surrounded by other people with other unhealthy relationships with food would have just made me drown in it. So I like really leaned on the people that would like inspire me in the ways that they were around food. So I don't think there's any shame in kindly separating from a friend or backing away slowly. Whether you want to explain yourself or just say like, I'm struggling with this and I need some time separate.
Yeah. I think that's important in any situation in life. It not only just, you know, relates to disordered eating, but just anything that you're struggling with when, you know, you need to really take a good look at like your circle and like your environment. And if it's not a healthy one, if it's not a positive one, if it makes you feel anything other than good, then I think we owe it to ourselves and our sanity to distance ourselves. And I think that's completely fair, because sometimes we're just going through things that sometimes we can't even explain. So maybe you can explain yourself. It's just like, I don't know why I feel the way that I feel, but I feel this way and that's that, you know, and this is not the right dynamic for me. They're not the right friend group, whatever the case is. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's an important life lesson in general.
Yeah, it's so true.
All right. So we're about to wrap up. I'm curious, what are some self-care practices or mental health practices, whether they are daily or situational, that you have? Anything that's like a really sustainable habit that you feel like, you know, a lot of the times we do hear the woo-woo things that you may stick to once or twice, but what are the things that you've really found like to stick with you throughout the years that help you?
I think my biggest thing that keeps me sane, like with my anxiety and my mental health, are my workouts. And it's not from a toxic place. I'm not a person that works out every day. Probably work out maybe 4 days a week on average. Whether that's more or less from you, it really doesn't matter. My thing is that like it clears the cobwebs, and I get into a dark place when I don't. I always feel better when I do, and it's sustainable for me. So it's finding the activity and the movement. You don't even need to call it exercise. You could literally refer to it as movement, because it's just, it's moving your body in a way that makes you feel good. And once I found the classes or the activities that worked for me and were sustainable, that's when my like life changed forever. And I mix it up. I do different classes, but seriously, like I owe my sanity really. Like, and also if you struggle with anxiety or depression or anything like that, any psychiatrist or doctor will tell you medication is only part of it. You need to be doing some type of physical activity, limiting caffeine, like doing other lifestyle practices that are taking care of yourself in order to sustain a long and healthy like mental health journey. So yeah. Long story short, for me, movement has been a huge thing. And it's just about like, it has been about just finding what works for me and what's sustainable for me.
Yeah. So, so, so important. Even like for me, I mean, I work from home, you know, I'm a podcaster, creator, all that too. And there will be days where like days on end where I don't have to leave the house. Mm-hmm. And then I don't like, even when it comes to grocery shopping, sometimes I just order my groceries. Right, like exactly. You don't have to leave the house. And like my step intake, like I'll look at my, you know, app for the day will be like 2000. Like that's not okay. And so I notice a huge difference in even just going for a 30, 45 minute walk outside. Sometimes like really like just, I think it's fresh air too. Just like getting out of the house, absorbing that fresh air. Like it really just does make such a difference for us. And again, for the millionth time, like not everything is a one size fits all, but I do think fresh air will make anyone and everyone feel even 1% better.
Yeah. Even like taking a 5 minute walk around the block. Yeah. Like I feel like people are so like, get so scared when people say the word workout, which is why I like say movement a lot. Like literally walk around your apartment complex for like 5 minutes. Like it's as small as that. I just think my motto is like something is always better than nothing, and it doesn't need to be every day again. But if you are really stagnant, it might feel good to just like get a few, even if it's a few steps in, and not get angry at yourself when you don't. But it has changed my life, like having those really fun workouts or just mini things that I can do to brighten my day.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Cardi. All right, Cardi. We got Cardi B on here. All right, Carly. Any last words of wisdom? I think I was like combining words and Carly and you. Cardly, whatever that was. Any last words of wisdom or advice to share with the girls?
Honestly, I feel like I have a lot of advice and stuff on any of my like social pages. So. Yeah. If there's anything specific anyone struggles with, you can definitely DM me. My DMs are always open. I answer like all of them, or at least I try to. Mm-hmm. So definitely like reach out if anyone's struggling with anything specific, or if you want to like dive deeper into the body image stuff, I have a bunch of episodes of my podcast on there.
Where can everyone find you? What are your handles and your podcast name and everything?
So you can find me on Instagram at @Carly_Weinstein, at TikTok at @CarlyWeinstein1. And then my podcast is called Real with Carly Weinstein on all platforms. And you can follow the podcast Instagram at Real with CW.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing. And thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.